Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness.
According to your loving kindness, blot out my transgressions.
Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity.
And cleanse me from my sin.
For I acknowledge my transgressions.
And my sin is always before me.
Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight.
That I may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge.
Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity,
and in sin my mother conceived me.
Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts,
and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom.
Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean.
Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
Make me hear joy and gladness.
That the bones you have broken may rejoice.
Hide your face from my sins.
And blot out all my iniquities.
Create in me a clean heart, O God.
And renew a steadfast spirit within me.
Do not cast me away from your presence.
And do not take your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
And uphold me by your
Then I will teach transgressors your ways.
And sinners shall be converted to you.
Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation.
And my tongue shall sing a law of your righteousness.
O Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth shall show forth your praise.
For you do not desire sacrifice, or I would give it.
You do not gladly burn offering.
The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart.
These, O God, you will not despise.
Do good in your good pleasure to Zion.
Build the walls of Jerusalem.
Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings.
You shall offer bulls of
Hermon. Please be seated as we finish the four verses of the first hymn.
Thank you.
reading for this afternoon is from the second book of Chronicles, the 7th chapter, beginning with verse 12. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer. I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. As for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked, and do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom, as I covenanted with your David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man as a ruler in Israel. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot them from my land, which I have given them. And this house which I have sanctified for my name, I will cast out of my sight, and will make it a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And as for this house which is exalted, everyone who passes by will be astonished and say, why has the Lord done this to this land and this house? Then they will answer, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers and brought them out of the land of Egypt and embraced other gods and worshipped them and served them. Therefore he has brought all this calamity upon them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading is from the 17th chapter of Acts, beginning with verse 24. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For if we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something that is shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel. The gospel is found in the 13th chapter of St. Luke, beginning with verse 1. There were present at that season some of who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. For those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all the others who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said to him, Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if it does, if not, after that you can cut it down. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with hymn 323. Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. You know, God is so good to you. Life on this planet is dependable and unvarying. You watch the seasons roll around. You watch the years come and go. Day and night are so regular. Rather than see these things as they are, as a marvelous gift of God, which profits you so much and in so many ways, you tend to take it all for granted. But philosophers who have considered the nature of reality concluded long, long ago that if there is a divine guiding force, you have no reason to expect all of these marvelous orders. In fact, without someone being very good to you, you say this stability is irrational and reality ought to be undependable. Dear saints in Christ, you tend to take your good things for granted, as though you somehow belong to them, that they are owed to you, or that you are entitled to them. But they are not your possessions or your rights. They are the gifts of God to you. Every moment of your life is a gift of God, and God does not do anything for no reason. Last Wednesday, you heard the proclamation of John the Baptist that repentance changes things. Today, you are here to hear that Jesus also called for repentance. And his proclamation was that repentance is urgent. God did not give you this time you enjoy simply to use for your own purposes, but specifically to use for his purpose. He has given you and all of humanity the time to repent. And as Jesus showed in his examples, repentance is urgent. Thus, Jesus gives you three examples. One example is of the Galileans who were slaughtered by Pilate as they worshipped at the temple. The second example was 18 people who were crushed in the collapse of a tower in the town of Siloam. The third example was a parable, the parable of the barren fig tree. Now, two of these examples were real events that happened to real people. The third example was a parable to explain something about those events and other events like them. You witness plenty of situations like those in the first two examples. The Tower of Siloam was a natural catastrophe. A building collapsed for no apparent reason. You have plenty of that sort of tragedy. And you don't usually assign any particular theological meaning to them. You simply observe it, and more than human tragedy involved. Some people have the notion that those who suffer such troubles somehow especially deserve them. But in the reading, Jesus dispels this notion so that the things sometimes just happen. It doesn't necessarily mean anything about the quality or the holiness of the particular person who suffered. The deaths of those Galileans in the temple was a man-made catastrophe. And you see plenty of those too. There are murderers, serial killers, mass murderers, bombings, drive-by shootings, terrorist attacks, and wars. Many people harbor a secret feeling that those who suffer such misfortune are deserving them somehow. They are different from others and not particularly beloved by God. Again, Jesus dismisses this notion. He clearly denies that those who endure such troubles are necessarily any different than those who have not suffered in such a way yet. What makes sense? What sense Jesus makes of this, of these unfortunate events, is to illustrate how urgent it is for you to repent. Something in Jesus said suggests that those who died perished without the hope of everlasting life. I tell you that they are not more evil than any of the others. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. It is in the expression, likewise perish, connected to the idea of not repenting, that tells you that these unfortunate souls died without salvation. You see, those who died had not died by accident. For each of them, the time had come to a close by God's deliberate choice. and they each faced the judgment. It sounds quite like they were found wanting in that judgment. What Jesus was warning his listeners about was not if they did not repent, then they would die in a tragedy or some other awful circumstance, but that their deaths would lead to eternal death. Eternal death in hell if they did not repent. Just as what had happened to those who died in those unfortunate events. Now, one tendency in this age is to beautify anyone who dies in poverty or in an unfortunate circumstance. Jesus shows you none of that. When someone dies in unfortunate circumstances, as in multiple car disasters or in a tragedy like a school shooting, they proceed to judgment just as they were at the moment their earthly life ended. They are not automatically promoted to heaven, no matter what happened or what age they were. Death at the hands of villains is unfortunate, but it is not salvific. A tragic death, an enormous catastrophe, does not save. It does not turn the victim into angels. The sorrow of those left behind is truly a human burden which you should seek to lighten. But you should not do it by pretending that those who did not know Jesus or those who did not trust in him have gone somehow to live in the skies and look down on their loved ones in some sort of caring state. Either they go to heaven by grace through faith, or they go to hell for the lack of saving faith. Then Jesus goes on to illustrate his point with the parable. The parable about the fig tree that did not bear fruit. The fruit sought at the fig tree symbolizes repentance and faith. Both are works of the Holy Spirit, and they inevitably go together in the sight of God. The number of years mentioned in the parable is unimportant, except that God gives you a definite and a limited amount of time. And that time is always shorter than you think. God is the owner of this vineyard. The vineyard is a frequent prophetic message, image of the people of God, his people Israel. What is striking is the fig tree, because it's growing on the inside of the vineyard, where the grapes are usually growing. Clearly, the fig tree is an individual within the visible church. Jesus was not talking here about unbelievers in general, but about you, in name only, are part of God's people. It represents every individual in the church, one at a time. The keeper of the vineyard who pleads for the life of the tree, then, is Jesus. He pleads for more time, but he also acknowledges that the time for patience is finite, and the day of reckoning must come. This call for repentance does not mean that you will likely die in a horrible tragedy, just that you will surely die and face judgment someday. Behold, now is the time. Behold, today is your day of salvation. Repentance is urgent. Do you think that those who died in either event Jesus mentioned plan on being dead that day? Do you think the two soldiers shot from the West Virginia National Guard in Washington, D.C. a couple of weeks ago imagined that they might be shot and possibly die that day? I don't think so. Do you think that those who lived in ancient Israel, even at the time of Jesus, thought of themselves predominantly as sinners? That they were lost and without hope in this world? Yes, some of them probably did, but still others did not. It made no real difference to whether they lived or died in the end, did it? Nevertheless, the judgment of Jesus is obvious. The warning is that repentance is urgent. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Advent is the call to repent. If you think you have nothing to repent of, then the call is particularly clear for you today. Some of you may have the attitude that you don't need church, or that you don't need to hear God's word all that often. Some of you may feel secure in who and what you are, without ever bothering to hold yourself up in the light of God's word. Perhaps some of you feel holier than those around you because you are older, because you don't get around much anymore, because you hold a church office, or because you go to Bible study. Some of you may feel quite self-righteous and have no need to pray, but particularly need to study. No particular need to study. No need to put to death the deeds of your sinful flesh and live deliberately for God. Some of you might think that giving and loving others, being humble and repenting, is a message meant for other people. Well, if you do, you're wrong. Everyone sins. Each and every one of you need to repent. You need daily to rededicate yourselves to deliberately being a child of God, which God has made you to be. You see, taking your standing before the Lord for granted is the first step on that wide, easy road that leads to hell. And the one you choose, and the one who chooses it would have a lot of company on it. However, the road to life everlasting is narrow. It is difficult. That means it takes deliberate effort and attention, and far too seldom used, even by those who call themselves Christian. But repentance is urgent. You have life today for just one reason. God wants you to be His. God wants you to repent, and He wants you to serve Him. You need daily to put that old Adam to death by drowning him in the waters of your baptism. You see, it was your baptism that God claimed you. There God said that you were not to live in sin, but to live in Him. Daily that new man must arise and come forth from the waters of your baptism by contrition and repentance. And it is that new man alone who will live before God in righteousness and purity forever. I'm going to guess that those people in Sodoma figured that they were God's people. I mean, the Galileans were even offering sacrifices in the temple. Unless you repent, you will also, like them, perish. And that's not my word, but Jesus's. Dear saints in Christ, if you repent, your sins are forgiven. For the one who calls you to repent died for your sins so that you might live in Him. However, if you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Here in the text this evening is the call for Advent to repent. So delay not. Delay not, O sinner, but hear the call of Him whose coming Advent heralds you to believe and repent. Believe that repentance is urgent. Repent and believe, and you shall be saved. Amen. Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen. Jesus. Thank you. truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him to be the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you, and pray the prayer that our Lord Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ. Take, drink, true blood of your risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink,
the true blood of your risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ. By this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Please rise as we pray the litany. O Lord, have mercy upon us. O Christ, have mercy upon us.
O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thou that sittest at the right hand of the Father,
receive our prayer.
Thou who wast silent before thine accusers, open our lips to speak that your praise.
Help us to bear witness to thee, our Lord and Redeemer.
Thou who didst humble thyself,
teach us true humility.
Thou who didst willingly bear thy cross,
help us to accept whatever cross may be placed upon us.
Thou who didst pray, Abba, Father,
teach us to pray, our Father who art in heaven.
Thou who didst say, I am the Son of God,
hallowed be thy name.
Thou who didst say, I am a king,
thy kingdom come.
Thou didst pray, not my will, but thine be done.
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Thou didst hunger and thirst.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Thou didst ask forgiveness for thine enemies.
Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Thou wast tempted in the wilderness.
Lead us not into temptation.
Thou who didst commend thy soul into the hands of thy Father,
deliver us from evil.
Thou who wast crowned with thorns,
thy heart is the kingdom.
Thou who didst sink into the arms of death, and on the third day rise again,
thine is the power.
Thou who didst redeem us from sin, death, the devil, and hell,
thine is the glory forever and ever.
Amen.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee, be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee, and give thee his peace. Amen.
Amen.